Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Here, Bernie, we're taking up the offering now. I'm going to pray first. We don't want to, you know, just because they're a lot, just because we lost all control out there, we're still going to pray here. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, as we for seed to sow into your kingdom. We thank you, Father, place this seed in the hand of a mighty, awesome God, that you'll use it to expand your kingdom. You'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God has been so good to you, you ought to praise him. Do I need to stand still today? Say that again. That'd be about all I can do. Okay. That's all I need to do. You need me to stay up here then. I was going to get in their face. Hallelujah. All right. Somebody grab Charles David by the seat of pants, pull him back in his chair. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. I know it was, but you know where the mayor works. Go see her. Hallelujah. You don't even live that far from where she works.
I walk
her. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we love you and praise you this morning. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for your word and what it means to us. And we ask that you would anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive your word this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
You know, we started several weeks ago, and we read the passage of Scripture in Matthew 16:33, where Jesus said, be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And we looked that word up. The Greek word for overcome there was the word ninnikika. And in the center of that word, at its root, was the word Nike, as we pronounce it today. And it means victory. So when Jesus said that he has overcome the world, he's saying that he has victory over the world. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. And we have the same victory over the world when we are in him. Amen? And the Apostle Paul, as well as some of the other disciples and Jesus himself, now I Googled this, so I'm assuming it's true, okay? But they use the term in him or in me or in the Lord 164 times, okay? It's in their lot. I don't know if it's exactly 164, but that's what this one fella said. It only thing you need to know is it's there a lot of times.
Yeah.
Amen? So to be in him. And we started out last week. We looked at Noah's Ark. Okay? And the word for ark, and I told you wrong the other day. The word for ark is actually this word, aron. I misspelled it. I spelled it A-R-A-H last week, but it's aron. It means ark. And the ark was a gathering place, right? So we see Noah's ark, which was a gathering place for all the animals, right? And for Noah's family. Amen? Then we also looked at the ark of Moses that his mother made. Placed the baby Moses in there, put it out in the Nile River. Amen? So those two arks became a picture. How many know God says, I see the end from the beginning. Amen. And we also know Paul said that our Hebrew Bible is given to us, and that there are types and shadows. There are pictures of the reality of Messiah there. There are shadows of Messiah. And so Noah's ark, as well as Moses' little basket or ark, became a type of deliverer. Amen. Noah's ark delivered the animals, and it delivered Noah and his family from the judgment of God. Somebody say amen. That's what the flood was, the judgment of God. Amen. And like Bernie said this morning, that rainbow is a sign of God's covenant that he would not destroy the earth again with water. Amen. I know we live in a river town here, and we have flood walls, and sometimes it seems like he forgot, but you know, how many know even if the mayor has to order the flood wall, the gate put in, that is nothing like the flood of Noah's day. Amen. Okay. And sometimes the flood wall is a source of great contention. At least that's what I've been told. Whether it's in or whether it's not in, whether you got to drive around or, you know. Aren't we funny? Aren't we fickle as human beings? We are so used to the comforts. We're such creatures of comfort. Any kind of little thing that causes us to deviate, anyway, we get all bent out of shape, you know. So last week we also started talking about the Ark of the Covenant and how the Ark of the Covenant is a picture of Messiah. And remember, it's made out of acacia wood or shittim wood. And you remember what we said about that tree, that acacia tree or shittim tree, it grew in a dry ground. Remember what Isaiah 53 says about Jesus, that he was a root that would grow out of a dry ground. We actually said that the shittim or acacia tree was kind of an ugly tree. And that same verse there in Isaiah 53:2 says that there was no comeliness about him. He wasn't very, after he took that beating, he didn't look very good. Yeah. Amen. But we also said that tree also meant incorruptible. And so we know that Jesus, the Lamb of God, was incorruptible, undefiled. Amen. So today we're going to major in on the Ark of the Covenant and what it was made out of. So if you've got your Bible, let's go to Exodus 25. Exodus 25, verse 10. And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, a cubic and a half its width, and a cubit and a half its height. And you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it and shall make on it a molding of gold all round. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark that the ark may be carried by them. Now, I forgot one thought. The reason we're talking about these arks is we determined that in order that we will be overcomers, we have to know where we stand. Amen. And if we stand in him, we are in the ark. Somebody say amen or oh me. Now, everything in this tabernacle that Moses is going to have to build, and I don't know, we'll just seek God and see. Maybe we'll just continue studying the tabernacle. But everything in that tabernacle points to Jesus. It's a type and a shadow of Jesus. And when God gives Moses instruction for this tabernacle, the first thing he gives him instruction to build is the ark. Amen? And the ark is going to be the center point. It's going to be the heart of the tabernacle. And the tabernacle is going to be placed in the heart of the people. 3 tribes on each side, 4 sides will be encamped around that tabernacle. And it's going to represent the presence of God in our midst. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, how does that represent Jesus, that tabernacle? Well, my Bible says that the Word of God became flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us. Amen. But God wanted the children of Israel, when they came out of that, when they came out of their tent in the morning, there was a pillar of cloud by day coming out of that holy of holies where the ark was. Coming out of that ark, God was with them. At night, if they looked out their tent, they would see a pillar of fire. God was with them. You know, before you throw your next temper tantrum, or before you throw your next feel sorry for me party and whine, why don't you look outside and see the pillar of cloud? It's in you. Amen. Did I help anybody? Help me. If it didn't help you, help me. Look outside. Quit whining about Pharaoh. Quit whining about how bad you got it. Everybody's got battles. Everybody's got battles. I know I'm not preaching to anybody here. It's people watching on the internet. That's who I'm preaching to. Everybody's got a battle to fight. But you know what? If you're blood-bought and born again and filled with the Spirit of that cloud is with you. The Spirit of that fire that led the children of Israel is with you. You are not alone. God has equipped you. God has placed you in His ark. He's called Jesus in order that you can overcome the world. I'm preaching to me now. I've been feeling sorry for myself here lately. I even told somebody, ask me if I'm happy. They said, are you happy? I said, no. That was just last week. I told them, no, my life's not my own. I'm going too many places. I have to do too many things. Sometimes I just want to sit in my chair and whine. Feel sorry for me. Wait a minute, Butch. Pastor Butch, you can't do that. You're the pastor. Oh, yes, I can. I'm just as human as you are. But here's the thing. We can't stay in that state. You can't stay there. And see, if there's one thing being the pastor has over the rest of you, is I have this innate sense in me that no matter how bad I feel, no matter how sorry I feel for myself, or how aggravated I am, I gotta prepare to preach on Sunday morning so that forces me to get in my word. Amen. And I read this week in my word, I read that the children of Israel came down to the Red Sea. This is after 9 or 10 miracles that God did in Egypt. And they come down to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's behind them. But you know what? The pillar of cloud was behind them too. Between them and Pharaoh. But all they could see was Pharaoh. See, that's a problem with the church. All we can see sometimes is the negative things. All we can see is Pharaoh back there. Man, I'm Baptisting today. I'm giving it all I got. And the Lord said. Hey. All we can see is Pharaoh. We've got to start seeing that pillar of cloud. Amen. Glory to God. I had no intentions of doing that. I had no intentions of confessing my sins to you. Wasn't a sin to feel sorry. According to my Bible, it is. In Deuteronomy, it says that the enemy has overtaken you because you did not serve the Lord with joy and gladness of heart. Ooh. So see, when we look back and all we see is Pharaoh, and we get all bent out of shape and aggravated, and get our panties in a wad, but I shouldn't say that. You know, then we're not serving God with joy and gladness. Amen. And you know what's going to happen if you stay in that state? The enemy's just going to keep compounding the problem. One after another after another. Amen. We got to be able to look back at Pharaoh and say, hey, I see you, Pharaoh, but guess what? I see a pillar of cloud. You're not going to touch me. You might say some stuff back there about me. You might aggravate me back there, but there's nothing you can do to bother me. And guess what, Pharaoh? This Red Sea is about to open up. And you're going to do something really, really dumb. You're going to march right down in and get swallowed up. I mean, think about it for a minute. How dumb was the devil? How dumb was he that he actually thought he could kill the seed of God? I mean, he has always tried to wipe out the seed of God. Amen? From Pharaoh, who wanted all the baby boys 2 years old and under killed because he heard somebody's going to raise up a king, to Herod the Great. Remember, he tried to put it on the wise men. Hey, you guys come back and tell me. Come back and tell me where you found him. I'll go see him. He had all the babies 2 years and younger killed. See, the devil has always tried to wipe out the seed of God. I mean, all the way to the Holocaust, when Hitler tried to, you know, did kill 6 million Jews. He tried to wipe them off the face of the earth. That was his goal. He didn't really want to rule the world. I mean, there might have been a part of him that did, but by the end of World War II, he was trying to wipe out the seed of God, the Jewish people. Amen. So the devil has always fell for that trick. But you know what? He really was stupid when Jesus died. You know, I hear people say, well, let me back up. To think that he could snuff out Jesus by a death on a cross. And Jesus ends up going down there, grabbing him by the nape of the neck. Making the Bible says it made a show of him openly, triumphing over all principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And my Bible says that you don't war against flesh and blood, but against those same principalities and powers that are influencing people. So quit being so mad at people and get after the principalities and powers that Jesus has already given you the victory over. Even that spirit of self-pity and woe is me, Jesus has triumphed over it. And you're in the ark. Yes. That means you're in the place of victory. Yes. Now this ark is made out of wood and it's overlaid with gold. Yes. Now one guy I looked up this week, he said that the Egyptians may have had a system in which they could infuse gold into wood. Whether they did or they didn't, we don't know. But God said, you take this acacia wood, this wood that dries or that can grow in dry ground, this wood that's uncomely, not very good looking. You take this wood and you make an ark out of it. And you, on that wood, I want you to overlay it with gold. So the wood becomes a symbol of Jesus' humanity. And the gold is always a picture of deity or royalty. Amen. In case you haven't remembered, he is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. All right. So, and you know, gold, the Hebrew word for gold, sahav, Z-A-H-A-V, it can mean shiny or brightness, right? And what does Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1, verse 3, he declares that Jesus is the brightness of the glory of God. Amen. So this ark, the box, now we're talking about the bottom part of this box. It's made out of wood and it's overlaid with gold. It's very symbolic of Jesus' humanity and his deity. So we're going to answer that 2,000-year-old question. Was he God or was he man? And the answer is yes. Yes, he was man. He was man in order that he might die. But he was God incarnate in the flesh. Amen. that he could be undefiled, the spotless Lamb of God. Glory to God. Well, let me keep going. Then God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you on this box. I want you to also make 4 gold rings. Are you with me? 4 gold rings. I want you to put 2 on each corner. All right? And then I want you to take a pole, a staff. Okay? You see this word that I put it up there? This word overlaid. Zaphah, overlaid. It means to cover or to overlay or to watch or a watchman. Okay, and I'll get into that a little bit later. The word for stav or pole here in Exodus in your Hebrew Bible is this word bad. You say it bad, be like ah in father, bad, and it's translated alone or stav. Okay, so you got 2 rings. Okay, how many know from the beginning God's always tried to make 2 1? Right? God's intention was never for man to be alone, right? He's always trying to make 2 1. So he takes 2 rings, right? And he takes 1 pole made out of acacia wood or shittim wood, and he overlays them with gold. Okay? And he takes 2 of them, and they go in the 4 poles, okay? In order that the priest, in order that that ark could be portable. You with me? Now that that ark is portable on the shoulders of the priest, it can go anywhere. But why is there 4 rings? I believe it's because it's speaking to the 4 corners of the earth. Amen? That ark was God's, represented God's presence in that tabernacle. Amen? When that was in that tabernacle, it represented God's presence. When it was on the shoulder of those priests and being carried out, guess where it went? Guess where that ark went? When the children of Israel picked up that tabernacle, picked up their tents, and they began to go to another place. Where was that ark at in that parade? Right in the front. So it led them and guided them. Amen. It was in their midst. And I believe that Jesus is that ark, and he is the universal way to the Father. He said of himself, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the ark. Allah can't get you to God. Buddha can't get you to the Father. Only the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. I don't care what anybody says. There was a couple senators this week. You know, the president appointed this conservative Christian man to be a judge on the lower circuits, and there's two senators questioned him about his affiliation with the Catholic Church, and they want to make a law saying that you have to be in public office, you have to give up your religious beliefs. There were 2 women. You can look it up. One's last name was Harris, the other one was Hirano. You can look that up, okay? Seriously, my religious beliefs is what shaped me. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's what I am. If I don't have Jesus, guess what? I'm nothing. Amen? Glory to God. Oh, you know what? I'm not against those 2. It's the principalities and powers that are influencing that kind of thinking I'm against. Amen. Glory to God. See, that every time I come in here, I love to see that flag of George Washington and appeal to heaven, because no matter how many times I did not think that we needed revival through the week, when I come in here and see that, it reminds me to pray for revival. It reminds me that revival is the answer for the world's problems. Amen. Oh, and that ark, having that 4 rings, It points to the four corners of the earth. Amen. And I think I said this already, but the universal answer to all the world's problems, not just America's, not just your problems, not just your family, but the whole world's problems, is Jesus. That ark. Amen. All right, let me keep going. You guys will get all bent out of shape if I don't finish. Remember, God never intended for anyone to be alone. That's why there's two rings. Four rings, two on each side. Those rings are functioning together. They're bearing equal weight, amen, of that ark. And they're functioning together with the two staffs, right? And guess what? One priest couldn't carry it, had to take four, two on one side, two on the other. So they're working in unity, amen. And that's a symbol of unity. How many of you know that the Bible says in Psalms 133 that where the spirit of unity is, that's where the blessings of God are. Amen. Glory. You know, America is so blessed. If America could ever get on the same page, just imagine what blessings we would have. Glory to God. Let me keep reading. I want you to jump down here. Yeah. Jump down to verse 21. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Where'd we quit reading that? 14. All right, let's pick it up in 15. The pole shall be in the rings of the ark. They shall not be taken from it. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold, of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub at one end, and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it of one piece with the mercy seat, and the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The wings of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony that I will give you. And there I will meet you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. All right, let's stop here for just a minute. The covering. Remember, the bottom part of the ark was wood and gold. But the lid, the mercy seat, there were 2 angels on the mercy seat. They were face to face, and their wings came forward like this. So their wings came together in a point, and they formed a mercy seat. They were 2 cherubim. Remember what God blocked the entrance to the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 3? 2 fiery cherubim. Amen? And they had a fiery sword, and they guarded the entrance. Because God didn't want man to eat of the tree of life and live forever in a fallen state. That's important for what I'm going to tell you here in just a minute. Okay, so this word term here, Karparet al ha'aron melima elah, that is taken directly out of the Hebrew Bible, okay? Talking about this mercy seat. Let me find it here. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and they shall face one another. The face of cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat, and you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony. It's here you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark that we find these words. This copperet, this is mercy seat. This one word. When you read a Hebrew Bible and speaking of the mercy seat, this is what you see. But this means that the mercy seat, or the top, the lid, is what comes from above. Amen? It's solid gold. That whole top, it's solid gold. It comes from above. What else comes from above? God's mercy, God's grace. I believe that Jesus came down from heaven as the wisdom of God incarnate in the flesh. Amen. So we see this solid gold lid. Okay. This carperet. It comes from the carperet comes from the root word kofer, which means to atone or cover or ransom. You got that? Okay. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Where are you at, Romans? I know you're here. I'm in hot pursuit. Romans chapter 3, 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. I'm sorry, page 1553, if you got a Bible like mine. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law or Torah, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Okay? So Paul's talking about the righteousness of God. What do you think about when you think about the righteousness of God? I've only told you this 30 times. Let's see if anybody remembered. What do you think about when you think about the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God being revealed. How about God's ability to keep his word? God's not a man that he should lie. When I see the righteousness of God, I think of God's ability to keep his promises. Amen? So we could read it this way. The promises of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the Torah and the prophets. In other words, the Torah, or the Hebrew Bible, as well as the prophets of God, they are witnesses of God's righteousness or God's ability to keep his promises. Amen? Like, what did the prophets promise? How about Jeremiah? God promised through Jeremiah that someday I'll take out your heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. I'll write my laws on the tablets of your heart. I will be your God. You will be my people. And then in Ezekiel, God said, I'll take out your heart of stone. I'll put my spirit within you. Amen. Those are the promises of God that the prophets were witnesses of. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus the Messiah, to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness. The word propitiation there is how they translated this Hebrew word that means mercy seat in the Septuagint, okay? Propitiation really is a bad, it's not the right word here, because propitiation carries the idea of satisfying the wrath of an angry God. And you all are familiar with Greek mythology and the Roman gods. You know, they worship many gods. And all those gods had to be pleased or appeased. They had to offer up sacrifices. They had to do stupid dancing. They had to cut their hair in a funny way in order to appease those gods, right? So they had to satisfy the wrath of an angry God. When I look at this, it should say this: whom God sent forth as a mercy seat. He's talking about Jesus now. Jesus becomes our mercy seat. Amen. Remember, the lid or the mercy seat is that which comes from above. You with me? All right, let me keep going. Go over, you're there in Romans, jump over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. And if you weren't here Wednesday, because you thought all we were going to do was take down a tree, yeah, then you missed it. I preached up a storm. Ephesians chapter 2. And three crippled guys did take down the tree. So, yes, we did. It's a fact. We did. Now, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. 1647. Gonna have to give up some of that TV. Start learning these. Alright, you there? 1647. Alright, let's go. We are proud of you. Let's start in verse 4. I was going to start in verse 8, but we'll start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Messiah. By grace you have been saved, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Messiah Jesus, in the ark. Amen. We're in the ark. Spiritually speaking, we are seated in the ark. In Messiah Jesus. Glory to God. That in the ages to come, verse 7, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in the ark. In Messiah Jesus. Who does he want to show the richness of his grace to and his kindness to? The people who are in the ark. Amen. Amen. Back up. Let's go to Noah's ark. Wouldn't you say that in Noah's ark, God showed those people in Noah's ark his kindness? Amen. You're in a better ark. You're in Messiah Jesus. And the heart of God. Oh, I'm going to read it again. Then the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Messiah Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, I'm going to come back to this, but I want to tell you something real fast. In the ark, in the bottom part of the ark, was a portion of manna, right? We said this last week. Remember the manna that the children of Israel gathered every day, except for Friday, and they gathered double portion so they wouldn't have to gather it on Shabbat or the Sabbath, right? So there's a portion of that manna. And that manna represented God's provision. But it also points to Jesus, who is the what? Bread of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is the bread of life. And I'm going to tell you something. He is the only one that can satisfy that spiritual hunger. Amen. That is in mankind. Amen. He's the only one that can satisfy that spiritual thirsting of a man's soul. That's why he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. I'll let him drink. He'll never thirst again. Amen. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Glory, glory. So there's some manna in there, represents God's provision, but it's a picture of Jesus, amen, as the bread of life, the only one that can satisfy the hunger in a man's soul. There's also Aaron's rod that budded, remember, something that dead that came back to life. Remember, I said that represented the promise of God. What promise of God? The promise of eternal life. The promise that someday this mortal, even though it's put in the ground dead, it will be resurrected again and put on immortality. But then there was something else. There was something else that was put in that ark. It was Moses' tablets. It was the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue. It was a representation of all of God's Word. Amen? And it was in the ark, and it was under the mercy seat. Amen? So the first thing that happened was they had the high priest had to go in the Holy of Holies once a year and sprinkle the blood of bulls and goats on the mercy seat. Amen? The first thing that happened to you is somebody told you about Jesus. The Holy Spirit began to woo you and draw you and bring you to a place that you made him Lord. Amen? You experienced God's mercy first. Amen? Now that you've experienced God's mercy, it's time to live by this book. Amen. You've experienced the mercy. You see, you can't get to the Word of God that was in the ark without going through the mercy seat. Amen. The Pharisees tried it. The Pharisees and Sadducees thought that they could be righteous just by keeping the law of God. And you know what? There are religious people today, even today, they have no relationship with God. It's all about how to cut your hair, how long your dress has got to be, no makeup, makeup, earrings, no earrings, rings, no rings. Ah! They're out there. And they're trying to live for God. They're trying to live for God by laws. And they haven't come through the mercy seat. Therefore, they're not happy. I've met some of them. When they see me coming with a silver watch, don't match the gold, but my son bought it for me, and so because he bought it for me, I want to wear it. They see me come with his watch and my ring. They don't want nothing to do with you. I had somebody tell me we're not going to take communion with you because we don't know if you're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Ah! I backed up three steps. I said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to honor your request, but I'm going to honestly tell you something. You don't have a chapter and verse for that anywhere. Nowhere. I go into some churches, they won't let me take communion with them because I'm not one of them. And don't you think it's just me. You try going into some of them same churches. They're not going to let you take it either. Yeah. Although I was in the Catholic Church there about a year or two ago, and they almost slipped. I just didn't want to drink after everybody else, so I passed. That's the truth, I'm telling you. That's the truth. I passed. All right, here's my point. You've experienced God's mercy. Now it's time to walk by the Word of God. Let's go back to what Paul said now. Maybe it'll make more sense. Verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." See, you didn't get saved because you're so good or because you did something right. You were saved by the grace of God and the mercy of God. And let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you one. I'm going to go a step further. You know, it says by faith. You didn't get saved by your faith only. You got saved by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Had he not been faithful. See, that's what faith means. It doesn't just mean believe. It means being faithful to what you believe or whom you believe. Amen? Because of his faithfulness, because of that wooing by the Father, now your faith got activated. Amen? And you're saved by that grace. And then he says, "Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Messiah Jesus, in the ark." Why, Lord, in the ark? Because in the ark, remember who Jesus was. He was the Word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. The ark you're in is Jesus the Messiah. He is the Word of God. You are in the Word of God. Now that you've experienced God's grace and mercy, and now that you're in Messiah Jesus, you're God's workmanship, and you're created for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. You know, for me in 2019, I got to walk better. I got to walk straighter. I need this word to become a lamp into my feet and a light into my path. And can I tell you something? If it's going to be a lamp into your feet and a light into your path, that also includes your mouth. My mind. My attitude. This is not my feet he's directing. This word of God is to direct my heart, my attitude, my tongue, my mind. Well, Pastor, you could have went all day without saying that. But it's true. Amen. That means I got to quit being so critical, people. Hmm. Anybody else been guilty of that? Huh? You know, you might as well quit being critical of people because not everybody's going to measure up to you. They're just, that was a joke. Okay. That was a joke. Some of you thought I was serious. Yeah, I've told you many times, I don't argue with people about the Bible. I'm comfortable with them being wrong. You know, there is a measure of truth to that, okay? No, we need to make sure, we need to make sure that we, you know how we are, you know how Christians are, we're kind of tight with God. Now, as some people, they don't have a problem writing a big check for 10% of what they make, you know, but I ain't going to give you my whole heart, Lord, and you want me to give you my tongue too? And my thoughts? You want to control my thoughts? And my attitude? But you gave me this personality. Yeah, but he didn't give you that personality. See, somebody told me one time I had a personality that needed a project. That's true. That is true about me. I need something to do. Okay? I am the world's worst. And I am... My little sister, I drive her nuts because she wants me in that office. She wants me to do stuff in that office. I don't want to do stuff in that office. I've created a way for me to get out of that office. I train the drivers. I can't drive, but I know how to load them trucks and unload them trucks. Let's go, boys. Get in that truck. You're driving. I'm with you. You know, I figured out a way to get out of there, you know. I mean, after all, I got to sign off on them how good they're driving. How am I going to do that if I ain't with them? You know, I mean, I could sign off on it, but I'm not going to, you know, that'd be a lie. See, we're kind of tight with God. We don't give him every area of our life. Now, I'm not going to let you have control of my money, Lord. I'll give you some of my attitude, but not all my attitude. And you know, after all, Lord, you give me this personality to speak my mind. Yeah, but God didn't intend for you to be mean and hurt people's feelings. Boy, I hit me right square between the eyes on that one. Ouch, that hurt. I ain't heard it. Well, you say, Bernie, didn't hear a car door slam that hard. You know? See, we're going to be tight with God. But you know what? You've experienced God's mercy. Thank you. It's time to surrender. It's time to surrender yourself to that word and become God's workmanship created in Messiah, in the ark. For good works. Amen. Not to go apologize over and over and over to people for the same thing. Amen. Created in Messiah, in the ark, for good works. Mm-hmm. I hate it that just a few of you in here this morning, and I had to heap all that on you. You know, see, at least if a place was filled, you could say, yeah, old sister so-and-so back there. Yeah, I hope she's listening to this. I hope she's getting that, boy. I hope old Mike's listening, you know. You know how we do. I was just picking on Mike. I didn't mean that he was really doing that. Amen. It's time to give him everything. 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 Close your Bibles. We're getting ready to finish. Hallelujah. Look at there. It's 10 to 1. We don't care. I don't know about you, but I preach good to me. And I was listening. Okay. Thank you, Lord. See, that's the problem you all have is a lot of times I come out here and preach something and God's got my hind end in the woodshed over, and you guys just spills over, you know. So you can say, Lord, I'm glad you're working on the pastor. Yeah, I'm glad you're working on the pastor. You know, I'm still good, Lord. If you want to, okay. You get him lined out, Lord, one of these days. You just keep after him. You'll get him up that mountain, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Y'all bless this morning. 2019, let's give him everything. Amen. Give him everything. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm coming off of here now. Hallelujah. Can I come off of here? All right, I'm coming off here. All right. I'll get Jackie and Katrina to serve communion. Got this alligator arm. Go ahead and fetch it there, ladies. Please. Pretty please. I went to a Christmas dinner and the table was all white and red and really pretty, and I reached for my coffee with this little short arm and just got enough of it to topple it over on that white. Just like Bernie just did. Oh, but his cup was empty. His cup doesn't runneth over. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. See, sometimes we get this attitude that, well, I'm saved. I'm saved, that's good enough. You know? But you're in the ark. You're in Messiah Jesus. You chose to say yes. You chose to put on the robes of his righteousness. And with that comes the responsibility to walk in that righteousness. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hold on there, girlfriend. Thank you, dear. It hurts. But I'm in the ark, so it's all good. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, it was doing well until I fiddled with some of the cows. I didn't tug on them or do anything like that. I was just squeezing that clamp, put the tag in her ear. After about sixth or seventh one, I was like, I can't do this no more. The nurse was back there looking at me like, you stupid. You know. Actually, the only helper I had, he was 70, so I got... We both were squeezing.
Did you get your bread?
I did. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. All right. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you We thank you that we are in the ark. We thank you, Lord, that we are your workmanship, created for good works in the ark, in Messiah Jesus. We thank you, Father, for Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you were wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. By your stripes we are healed and made whole. And Lord Jesus, when you radically personalized the Passover by saying, "This bread is your body," you instructed your disciples that when they did this, they were to do it in remembrance of you. And this morning, Lord Jesus, in remembrance that you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, that you are the immerser, baptized in the Holy Spirit, that you are our high priest interceding for us right now, and that you are our soon coming King, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, we take and eat of your body. Hold your cup up. You ready? On three. One, two, three. L'chaim means to life. The Bible says that life is in the blood, and at Calvary, Jesus poured out his life that we could be partakers of that. Not just mere partakers. He said you can have this life and have it more abundantly. And he was talking about our relationship with the Father and the Son. You can get as much out of that relationship as you're willing to put into it. This cup also represents the fourth cup of a Jewish betrothal ceremony, where the bride would drink of that fourth cup as a vow that she would be faithful to her husband until he come. And he would not drink of that fourth cup until after the wedding. And Jesus told his disciples, "You will no longer see me drinking of this cup until I've come in the fullness of my Father's kingdom." Amen. So Lord Jesus, with thanksgiving in our hearts, in remembrance of you, and as a vow of our fidelity and faithfulness until you come, we drink of your life this morning. Hallelujah. Praise you, mighty God. Now, January 29th, that's a Tuesday. Oh, Tuesday. As of right now, we're going to teach those two classes. I'm not going to make them long classes like I normally do. We'll try to get them all done in a couple hours, maybe an hour and a half if possible. One is church history. The first part of this will be the life, ministry, and death of the apostles. We will go through the book of Acts quite a bit, so it'll be good in that regard. The second class was going to be that is church history. The second class is Israel then and now. We'll go through the history of Israel, and we'll trace it from ancient Israel to modern day Israel. And we'll hopefully we can use a lot of pictures on Tuesdays. Start January 29th, okay? We'll start at 6:30. If we find out, the only reason I picked Tuesday was because E4N asked me to do this. And in the past, I've had as many as 30 or 40 people watching our classes that we've live streamed. So if I find out nobody's watching them, we'll just move them to Wednesday. That's the plan right now, January 29th. Okay? No, we'll still have Wednesday probably. Okay? All right? Well, we can always open the door for you, give you a key. Amen. Let me.